All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, December 16th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a two-game NFL Monday Night Football main slate. That'll be a ton of fun. Six-game NBA main slate and a three-game hockey main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Saber Sim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. We also have our build review show on Mondays and Fridays. So that will go live here at 5 p.m. Eastern following this show. But it is Monday here, so that means we have to announce the winners from our weekly max challenge here. So we have to note... So without further ado here, I'm going to announce our top finisher of the week was none other than Joff M33. You guys probably know him as GM33 in the Discord. I actually saw this prior to the show. I thought this was actually super cool. Then after winning the free entry, effectively parlayed those I saw the screenshot in the Discord earlier today, so super happy for him, and they are going to be getting a custom Saber Sim hoodie and then an entry into our end of the season 25K big game free roll. But let's announce who gets free entry into next week's contest, so hopefully they can do the same exact thing. So I've grabbed all the names from the sheet here, dropped them into our reel of names, going to click shuffle a couple times here, and then we are going to spin to see who wins free entry into next week's Minimax. All right. Winner is Gun Ranger. Congratulations for both of our winners this week. Our support team will reach out to you so you can claim your prizes. Appreciate everybody continuing to participate. Only 3 weeks left here. So getting very, very close to the end. Still have 200 plus people participating each and every week. So we appreciate you guys and hope that you are enjoying the contests. All right. With that said, let's get this off the screen. We'll get Saber Sim up here. We have a lot of questions today. I was getting ready for the show. I was like, wow, we have a lot to get through today, which is cool. You know, a lot of sports action on deck. So plenty of strategy and stuff to cover. But let's see. Saber Sim coming up now. All right. We are just going to work our way from the top down here. And first question, I want to try an approach where I am only using players in the starting lineups for the NBA slates. A filter option for this would look like show players with status is confirmed, but then all players with games yet to start would be excluded. Is there a way to approach this besides waiting until the green light comes and check each individual player's confirmed status for each individual team? So effectively what you would need here is like a probable So, you know, like, okay, yeah, you know, the status is blank for Jokic, but we are projecting him, you know, to start, right? That's why he has such a high projection. You know, we don't expect him to come off the bench, things like that. So I think this one falls a little bit more in feature request territory. So I'll make a note here to basically ask the team to add a, you know, projected starter type of status, which would then be allowed to be used as a filter, which you could do this, right? In the meantime, what you would effectively have to do is go in to a team and then uncheck players who are not projected to start, or you can even try like a projection filter, right? So you could come in here and do something like, you know, find a cutoff point. Like you just look at like the top five players. And then you look at like the 6-1, right? Like a non-starter or something like that. And then you just say, okay, you know, I'm going to cut it there, right? So then you just come in here, uncheck these other players, set some type of filter. You could try like a minute thing, right? That might be a little close, so it's going to depend sometimes. But you could try like if you have, you know, the detailed stats, 25-minute filter, something along those lines. So prior to getting the, you know, projected starter status, you're going to have to be a little bit more hands-on with this and just checking all of the teams as you go through them. All right. Next question. If I use direct fill to fill my lineups when filling my single entry and three max contests, is the sim selecting entries that are designed for the correct strategy for those contests, or is it just picking the highest ranked lineup from my pool? Okay. So if you're using direct fill, what the builder is doing is it is taking the average ROI or the average sorting metric across all of the contests you have chosen. So, okay. What can we do? Let me get an entry file in here. We can talk about this a little bit more. All right, let's do this. Got an idea. Just need a minute to work it out. And I want to check one other thing. All right. So we got the entry file in. And then let's go. I just want to verify the subscription for the user who asked this. Because if it's SaberScore, I may answer it one way. If it's Contest Sims, I'm going to answer it a different way. Okay, this one came from Bill's Nut on Ultimate. Got it. Okay, so I have an entries file loaded up, right? 292 entries. And I'm going to build 2,000 lineups is fine. So we're talking about using direct fill to fill a group of single entry in three max contests, okay? So let's run this build. And lineups are almost done. All right. Now let's run a contest sim. And we're just waiting for this to finish now. Okay. Contest sim is done. So then now let's go into the dropdown. And let's say I only want to do three max and below, right? So I'm going to uncheck all of these other contests. And I'm only going to leave the three maxes and single entries selected, okay? So then I click out of this window. The builder is going to refresh here, right? Loading lineups. It's resorting the lineup. So what is it doing? So because I'm using target ROI right now, what the builder is doing is it is going into this list and it's saying, okay, there are these many contests selected. Let's take the average ROI across only those contests, and then let's rank the lineups by that selection, okay? So you can see this underneath a lineup where you have all the summary stats. It will say average of selected contests, okay? So from the contests I have selected, the highest average is 154% ROI. That doesn't mean that's the highest out of all of them, right? I find a single entry here with 152, a single entry with 173, right? So like that would be higher on a contest by contest basis. But because we're using direct fill, because we have, you know, 10 or so contests selected, we are using the average across all of those. So that's what's going on in direct fill. Hope that makes sense. All right. It was suggested I ask this question in office hours. Been using SaberSim for a few weeks, and any help is greatly appreciated. I tried to lock some players I thought would have a good week per the defense they are going against, and I've seen maybe break-even success. So then I watched some videos and then decided to just run the build lineups and see who SaberSim is high on. And then I adjusted some exposures accordingly. So for today, Herbert, Nix, Allen. Allen went off, but he seemed to be dumped into lineups that sucked. And then do not get me started on Rodgers, who decided to have a great week this week. I think I'm using the tool wrong or something, or I just suck in this DFS thing when it comes to NFL. What is the number? Maybe I got out of order here. Okay, so just, you know, we could sum this up as like general NFL, you know, strategy, right? I think that sometimes when people are a little bit newer to SaberSim, you know, if you've used other tools, or even if like you hand build lineups, right? I think a lot of people are used to being so in control of what their lineups are, who the players are in their lineups, what they look like, that, you know, when you use a tool like SaberSim, we typically say like, hey, less is more with SaberSim, right? You let the sim do the heavy lifting, and, you know, you do a lot of the fine tuning, you know, you're putting the icing on the cake, right? But SaberSim is baking the cake, you know, it is doing the whole process, and, you know, you're just there putting on the final decorations at the end, right? I think a lot of people want to bake the cake, right? They are so used to having to bake the cake. They're like, okay, well, you know, what do I do, right? And I think this idea of like, the more you put into something, the more you're going to get out of it. Well, I think that this is actually kind of a little bit of the opposite, right? The more you put in, the more hands-on you are, the more adjustments you make. Sometimes you can end up hurting yourself a little bit, right? You can end up doing too much. You can move away from what the sim wants to do and go in like a bad direction, right? So it's a little bit hard for sure to you know, give up some of that control, give up some of those preconceived opinions about how players are going to do and things like that. So what I would say is, I think a good first step is probably try and only make like less than 5 adjustments on the slate, right? Like, okay, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to build some lineups for NBA. You know, pick your 5 highest value adjustments and only make those, and then stop, right? Like, no matter how many other things you want to change, you know, just make your top 5 and then let the builder do the rest and see how that goes, right? What you're doing is you're adding value in the places you think are the most important. And then all of these little other marginal sections, you're deciding to give SaberSim a chance and see if it is, you know, better when left to its own devices. So I would probably start there. I think what's happening is like probably a little bit too hands-on, and I would try and limit the amount of adjustments you make and go from there. So give that a try today and let me know how it goes. All right. Next question. When it comes to NFL, what is the number a player has to get to hit value? How many fantasy points? So it's typically dependent on what their salary is, right? Like, you know, okay, if RJ Barrett scores 30 points, you know, that's actually not a good game for him, right? But if a player who is, you know, Keon Johnson scores 30 points, then yeah, that's definitely, you know, high value for him because he's 4,200 salary. So typically in my experience, at least like for NBA, 6X the salary is like you'll typically see the player with like the little fire emoji. I'm like almost positive of that. So, you know, if Grady Dick 5,200 scores, you know, 30 something points, then, you know, he'll probably have like a little flame symbol or something like that. So I think it changes a little bit sport to sport. Like, I'm pretty sure Josh Allen does not need. So sport matters, right? Scoring system, all those type of things. But if you are playing different sports, you can kind of keep an eye on it, like see when a player is like hot, and then just look at their salary and figure out how many fantasy points they have. Is it 5X? Is it 4X? Whatever it is. All right. Next question. My question is, when I enter my contest for NFL tonight, I was in about 3 entries at first, and I built my lineups and I made about 13 of them my favorites. But then when I wanted to enter an additional 10 more entries, I downloaded my entries from DK into Saber. It said 13 contests, but it was only letting me download 11 entries in my favorites and asked me to duplicate. So when I click duplicate, it would not let me load them on DK. I kept getting an error, and then I had to manually add every lineup on DK. Why can't I download my favorite CSV into DraftKings? Okay, so a couple things going on here. So first off is, let's say I put these lineups in the favorites, right? I have 150 lineups here. I'm going to move them over to the favorites, right? And then I'm going to go to a different build. And then, you know, let's just build a few lineups here. So we'll build like 200. And, you know, I have 292 entries, right? So I'm basically trying to combine these lineups to get to 192. So, okay, 200 lineups here. I'm going to take 142 from this build. I'm going to click favorite. So now I have 292 in the favorites. I have 292 entries. Great. Okay, so I go over to favorites. Now in the favorites tab, all I need to do is make sure that my lineups in the box match the entries, right? And then once I do that, I can click the save button. I get the notification that all of the lineups have been saved. I come over here to the top left. This green download entry icon is now lit up. I download it. Your file should start with entries, okay? So as long as this starts with entries, then the site will accept it. If this says lineups, right? If you had come in here and you click this button, this save to CSV button next to the lineups, this is the wrong button. When you click this one, it's going to your... So just make sure when you're doing this, you're using the green save to contest button. You're going and downloading it from the left. And then that the file that you're selecting when you go to upload it to the fantasy site starts with entries. And as long as you do that, then everything should work out appropriately. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, what is the best metric I should use to rank any satellite contest by ROI or win/cash rate? Does it matter at all? So I would not use cash rate, just because sometimes satellites will like have like a couple of like paid positions where it like might not be an entry. I would stick with win rate or ROI mostly. You know, win rate, you'll never go wrong, right? Because if you want to win the ticket, then you're trying to get first place. Well, win rate is the amount of time you get first place. Most satellites should just be an entry, like a ticket. You know, they shouldn't have those additional like paid entries. I know the live finals do, but if your satellite just has a ticket and no other paid positions, then ROI, win rate, and cash rate should all be the same, right? And you should be able to sort them and notice if the lineup changes, right? So what I would do is like run a test, go to your lineups, go put it to one, right? Go select your single contest that you're referencing, right, in the drop-down list. And then in the sorting metrics, change it to that contest-specific ROI, that contest specific win rate, that contest specific cash rate, and see if that lineup is changing, right? So that is a test you can do to you know, verify that everything is working as you expect it to, right? As we've described here. All right. Andrew, thanks for the motivation to try out RankFill. Used it to great success in the NFL main minimax. Also did the whole slate from start through late swap on mobile since I was at the Hartford UConn versus Georgetown women's basketball game. So this was from GM33. Pretty cool that he was able to, you know, build lineups, late swap, and still come in third in the main minimax all by using mobile. So that's a really a good testament to the work our team's done on our mobile app. And I'm glad you like RankFill, right? Something I talked about last week, saying how, you know, I personally like to use RankFill. If a lineup grades out well in more than one contest, I'm okay playing it in both contests, right? So personal choice, but something that, you know, I do. So I shared that, and it looks like it worked out for GM33. All right, next question. If I have a total of 8 entries and I created multiple different builds that I like, how am I able to get multiple lineups from each build into the contest without having to do it manually? So I would do that, you know, favorite option, right? We just did a demo kind of showing how to do it, right? So I would continue to do it that way. So if you missed the favorite demo, just rewind a little bit here. But we just did one, and it worked out, you know, as expected. All right. Is it any different to sort by ROI than win rate? Just asking because it seems as ROI a lot of the times. I tend to break even. I'm thinking when trying to win a tourney, wouldn't sorting by win rate be a better option since you're trying to win and not just cash? Also tried using a couple lineup filters, ROI greater than 0, dupes less than 2, still coming out break even when sorting by ROI. I would recommend not using win rate alone, especially for classic slates. And the reason for that is because if you have two lineups, one of them takes last, one of them takes second, that is effectively equal when it comes to win rate. Neither lineup's win rate is going to go up. But, you know, obviously second place is a very strong finish. You're still going to get a good payout for that. And you want that represented in your ROI metric, right? It will be represented in ROI. But win rate is strictly first place. So that can be a little bit noisy. ROI is taking into account your win rate plus your cash rate, right? So, you know, you're not always going to win. Second place still gets good, paid good, right? A lot of those top 5 finishes can be high. You want those taken into account. So I get it. You know, you're right. We're not trying to just get past the cash line, but I do think ROI is still a little bit better than win rate alone. And I think win rate could just be a little bit noisy. All right. Next question. When reviewing builds you've done late swaps on, does live sim ROI take over for sim ROI? I'm trying to review yesterday's main slate and I don't see sim ROI, and sim average score is 0 for all contestants. Okay, so this is in late swap. So when you're in late swap, right? So it says like, hey, I did a late swap, right? And I'm in a build. It says reviewing builds you've done. So I'm assuming like you're in like a build window that you ran. If you ran a contest sim, that is indeed the live sim ROI. And it's because you would have been using the live data, right? So as the games play out, we're taking into account box score information and we're updating players' projections, right? So we're saying, okay, hey, this lineup has Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, you know, has almost 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, this lineup obviously has a very high score and is in a lot better position to cash to get a high ROI percentage, right? All of those things. So live sim ROI is taking over for the pre-slate ROI in your late swap builds when you run them. So this second part makes me think you're looking in flashback because it says, I don't see sim ROI and sim average score is 0 for all contestants. I don't know exactly what contest this is, but sometimes some of the contests are really big and it causes our post contest sim to fail and like it doesn't go through. So if you see a contest where you're not seeing results, do us a favor, just go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, and then just let us know what contest this is. Like, hey, you know, $3.20 max NFL main slate, not seeing sim ROIs and sim average scores. And then we'll go and look, we can see if the sim failed on our end, and then we can intervene and get those results up. So my guess is you're probably looking at a contest where unfortunately the contest sim failed. You're going to require a little bit of manual intervention from our team to fix it. All right, next question. What are the pros and cons to rerunning contest sims after adjusting things like min and max exposures? I wouldn't really recommend doing this if you're just trying to like fine tune your lineups, right? So basically the reason for that is the contest sim runs on your entire pool, right? It runs on all of the lineups in your pool. So once you do that, if you go, so let's say like you build your lineups, you run your contest sim. You go and you set your min and max exposures. Rerunning the contest sim really doesn't do anything at that point because the lineups are already built, right? The only time it would you would want to rerun the contest sim is if you rebuilt the lineup. So say, you know, you run your contest sim, you come in, you set your min and max exposures. Maybe you run into an error message like, hey, you know, not enough lineups in the pool. You know, we can't meet your exposure requests, something like that. If you rebuild the lineups, then I would rerun the contest sim. But if you are not rebuilding the lineups, then there is no need to rerun the contest sim. Just set your min and max exposures. And if the builder can meet them, great. And then just fill your lineups from there. All right. Brandon said, your help and insight is greatly appreciated. I think I speak for all of us. Appreciate it. Try and give my best advice possible. All right. Ben said, why does NFL DFS give you stacks that you exclude? I.e. I remove 3 and 5 stacks and I still get them. This is specific to Showdown. Okay. So the problem is, effectively what's happening is the defenses aren't being counted as part of a stack. So, you could exclude 5 stacks, but then you can get like a 4 stack of players with the defense, and it's a 5 stack, but according to like our back end, it's not a 5 stack. So it's a little confusing there. Apologies about that. Basically the logic from the classic slates was carried over to the showdowns, and the showdown logic needs to be reworked to support that. But there is a workaround. If you want to exclude 5 stacks, you have to use 2 rules. Basically I'll show them here what they look like. And let's go to a showdown. All right. So if you're trying to exclude 5 stacks in NFL showdown, I would use 2 rules. First one, it's going to be a group automatic rule. And you're going to say use no more than 4. You're going to group by team, and then we're going to do positions flex, and we're going to leave all of these selected. Okay. And I'm going to include defense here too, right? So running back, quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, defense, kicker. Okay. Rule number 1. All right. And then rule number 2 is going to be a group auto rule. Let's just start fresh. This one is going to say, if at least 1, we're going to group by player and we're going to say position captain, then use no more than 3 on the same team. And we are going to select flex in the position and remove the question. And then we're going to select all the positions. So the first rule is for the flex, and then this one is for the captain. When you use both of these rules together, that will allow you to prevent 5 stacks. in Showdown, at least until we update that logic. So hope that helps in the meantime. All right. Good stuff there. And a couple more questions rolling in. Just add them to the list here. All right. So where were we? That was Ben. Got one from Sam. I attempted to use the SaberSim advice from previous videos where you run the build lineups and tweak exposures. Of course, especially quarterbacks yesterday were a disaster. Any future suggestions? I would recommend checking out some of our sport specific advice. You know, just first, right? If you're looking for somewhere to go, this is the first place I would go. Go to Saber School. And do two things. Number one, come in here and go to this how to beat DFS section, and then go and find the sport that you're playing and check out some of these videos, right? Like, this is a really good Showdown video for NFL. This video down here, how to build winning NFL DFS lineups. Really good, quick video. This how to beat NFL DFS in 2024 goes more in depth, right? Like, this first one up here is like 15 minutes. This one's like 45 minutes, right? Jordan goes deep in the tank for NFL strategy in this one, right? So check out these videos. We have another Showdown video. There's two of them here. Some of the content will overlap. Some of it will be different, right? So sport-specific advice is going to be key. So this is the first place I would go. Second place I would go, check out the SaberSim 101 section. What did I do here? Turn off NFL. SaberSim 101 section, right? This is a great place to go. This beginner's guide to SaberSim, awesome. Talking about menu uniques and diversification, showing you how to use contest flashback to study your results the day after a contest ends. These are all really, really strong videos as well. So go through this hub, check out these videos. It's going to give you a lot of really, really good advice for helping you to make good decisions in your DFS lineups. All right, next question. I'm currently subscribed. I made lineups and never played the lineups. I go back to the lineups and actually made 5 lineups that could have won me the GPP. I lost full. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure what the question is. But if you are running into a problem and something is wrong here, what I would do, best thing always to do, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, let us know what error you encountered, give us a description. When you do this, it sends a lot of data that the team needs to investigate bugs and things like that, and it allows us to give you a better update of like, hey, this is what we found, this is what we saw, you know, take these steps instead, or like, oh, hey, this is indeed a bug. You know, it will allow us to fix it and things along those lines. So do that for me if there's something else going on here that I'm not understanding. All right. Next question. Is it a good idea to just roll with what SaberSim suggests via a build? I asked because I went with Herbert yesterday and Nick's, and that was a massive failure. This was just click build, adjust exposures based on what SaberSim generated. I was happy with those suggestions, of course, but any clue why it did not trigger, say, any golfer, possibly Mac Jones, etc.? Am I using the tools wrong? So, Sam, I believe you asked a question in the Discord and support channel. I did answer that earlier in the show, so maybe you missed it. I'm glad you were able to catch the show live as well here, but we did talk about, you know, things that you can do or not do, right? I think the too long didn't read of it was try and just make 5 key adjustments and try and leave the rest a little bit to SaberSim. The other impression, you know, that I'm getting a little bit here just from like reading your comment is, you know, it sounds like you only played 2 quarterbacks. So my impression is that you only played a handful of lineups. We have a video . So this is a contest selection specific video where when you go to our YouTube, And it's going to be this, the DFS profit plan. This is our recommended contest selection framework that we tell our subscribers to follow. And the reason for that, it can be displayed from this other video that I'll pull up right now. Okay, so our DFS profit plan came from a backtesting project that we did where we effectively put a winning player, somebody with a 20% expected ROI over time, into different types of contests. Okay, we ran bankroll simulations, right? And what we found was like we did three things. We put the person in all single entry, we put them in all multi-entry, or we put them in a balance of the two, right? So this hypothetical player wagered $100 a day. Their end of the season winnings were just about the same for all three options. But the way they got there was highly, highly different, right? So this BR needed for 0% bust represents the how big the player's bankroll had to be to never lose all of their money. And the version of this player that only played single entries had to have the biggest bankroll, right? Single entries are the most high variance contests. The player with the multi-entry still needed a bigger bankroll, but not as big as the single entry. And then the person who played a balance of the two could have the lowest bankroll and never go bust here. And then the other thing that I notice is that the percent of bankroll wager, the single entry player had to play the smallest amount of their bankroll, the multi-entry a little bit more, but the person playing a balance could play almost closer to 5% of their bankroll a day here, right? So the contest selection recommendations come from this backtesting project. And I think I have a snapshot here. And this is what like the bankroll simulations look like, right? So this is us simulating out this player across a 160-day MLB season. And, you know, these are what all these graphs, all these different seasons look like in when we put it on a graph, right? So it was a pretty cool project. If you guys are interested in learning more about that, it's also on our YouTube channel under the under podcasts. Show that here for people that want to go deep in the tank. It was our Behind the Sims series. This was like one of the very first Behind the Sims series that we did. So on the YouTube, go to podcasts, you go to Behind the Sims. And it was these first five videos. So Behind the Sims, contest selection, all these contest selection videos with the yellow thumbnail are how we ended up building out the DFS profit plan. And effectively the profit plan says to set your bankroll number, play 2 to 5% of it a day, and then split up the 2 to 5% between 25 to 50% single entry and 3 max, 50 to 75%, 20 max and 150 max. So what this would look like, say you're going to set a bankroll for yourself, right? Say, okay, I'm going to set my bankroll and I'm going to start with this number. I'm not going to change it. And I'm going to set $1,000. Okay. So what's 5% of that? So 0.05, $50 a day, right? Okay. So from the $50, I'm going to take 50 to 75% of that and put it in 20 and 150 max contests. So, you know, 25-ish, a little bit more. 25 in single entries, 25 in 20 and 150 maxes, right? And I'm going to start with the lowest stakes contest in the lobby. I'm going to start with the 10-cent contest, the 25-cent contest, the 50-cent, the $1, right? And work my way from lowest entry fee up. So that's how I would put it into practice. All right, that can be really good because it's going to allow you to get a lot more lineup. When you do it this way, you're going to have, you know, hundreds of lineups or tens of lineups, you know, whatever it ends up being, and you're going to get access to a lot more players in the player pool, right? And then if you start watching some of these videos in Saber School, especially like the Mininique one, when you start diversifying your lineups, you're going to get even more access to the player pool and more access to the player pool. So kind of the reason like behind using something like Mininiques, right, is you want to not be all in on a couple of plays. And when you are using Mininiques, which is making sure that X amount of players are different from every other lineup, well, you're going to end up playing more and more players in the player pool. And what happens in your standings, like in the actual contest standings, is your lineups end up getting more spread out. They're not all clumped together on the left. They're not all clumped together on the right. They are, you know, some of them are on the left, some of them are on the right, some of them are in the middle, and you give yourself more chances at having this neutrally correlated set of lineups where the results of one lineup is not going to impact your entire portfolio, and you're not completely dead if, you know, you roster Nick Chubb and he breaks his foot or something like that, right? So that is one of the best things that you could do, is just find ways to manage your risk in your DFS lineups. And playing more lineups while still being bankroll conscious is one of the best ways of doing that. All right. Good stuff so far. Next question. If I have 20 entries, how do I split them up into each contest? For example, I just want 5 lineups for one contest and another 5 for another contest, but I don't want them at once. I want to just split it up. Okay, so you can just build for them separately. Probably the easiest way to do this. Sounds like, you know, for example, you have, you know, 4 different contests with 5 entries each, right? There's a couple different ways you could do this. I'm going to go back to the NBA one, actually, because I already built lineups and have an entry file here. So you could do these one at a time in direct fill. Easiest way to do this is go to the dropdown, only select one contest at a time, and then figure out, you know, your 5 lineups or however many lineups, save them, and then go and then switch to the next contest. Find your next set of lineups. Notice the lineups box updates based on however many entries I have here. Figure out your lineups here, save them, and then go to the next contest. Go to the next contest for as many times as you need to go through that problem. All right. Somebody asks, is there a mobile app? There isn't a mobile app like from an app store, but you can go on a mobile URL, you know, Safari, Chrome, whatever you want to use, and just go to app.sabersim.com, and you can use SaberSim from your mobile device just via a web browser. We do have tutorials on how to do that. If you go to the help button in the upper right menu, takes you to our support library. If you go to view more, you go to SaberSim tutorials. We have this how to enter your lineups into your contest on mobile/phone. So that would be your guide to doing that if you never did that before. All right. Jonathan said, any specific guys you really like tonight on this Monday night 2-gamer? Honestly, I haven't really looked at it too much, right? But, you know, I'm not like a take heavy guy like that. You know, I try and trust the Sims more and listen to, you know, the Sim outputs and things like that, right? So if I was building lineups, you know, basically what I would be doing is coming in here. I'm only going to build 2,000 lineups, making the 2 minimum required changes, 2 projections, and kicking this off. While this runs, I'll go and set up a contest sim. And I'm going to go to, let's say I'm playing the $3.20 max. Looks like it's a pretty good contest, right? So go in, set that up. That would be the same as, you know, uploading an entry file. Now going back to the build, waiting for these lineups to finish. And just about done here. Closing in on a full 2K pool. Lineups are just about to load. All right. So as soon as the lineups are built and put into the pool, I want to get to my preferred sorting metric, right? If you're using SaberScore, stick with SaberScore. If you're using contest sims, now is a good time to run your contest sim. Doesn't matter where you're at in the app when you run the contest sim. It's all going to work the same here. So I'm running this. And then the builder's automatically going to switch to ROI here, right? Target ROI. So if you have an entry file, works fine. If you set up a manual contest sim, you got to go and switch to the manual contest sim, just so you know. And then from here, right, we can start analyzing. This is a good opportunity right now to start adjusting min uniques, setting min or max exposures. I like to go with uniques first and then do any fine-tune adjustments to exposures last. A couple data points I like to have: average projection, aggregate metric, average ROI, aggregate metric. And then I like to start increasing my uniques. I'm making sure that my metrics aren't sacrificing. I'm not sacrificing too much of either of them to get to some diversification. It's more likely I'm going to get to a lower number of uniques on a two-game NFL slate than like a Sunday slate. So three uniques is looking like pretty good for me, down about like 20% ROI. Down a little bit in projection, but not too much. And then now would be a good time to fine tune anything, right? Builder seems to really like Bijan Robinson. Like, hey, I'm fine with it. You know, he's 75% owned anyways. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having 100% of him, right? I'm a little bit over on the field. So exposure, you know, always consider the player's ownership when doing that, right? Like, okay, having 100% Bijan, not a huge deal. But, you know, if I have 100% of like Cam Akers at 7% ownership, well, that might be a little bit aggressive now, and I might want to bring that down. That's obviously not happening, but a consideration, right? So always think about exposures in terms of like the leverage you're getting on the player compared to their ownership, which is what the leverage column is: exposure minus ownership. But from here, right, I'd be ready to rock and roll. I would be ready to upload these lineups. So, you know, you can always get an idea of who the builder likes by running a build, checking out, you know, what players are most exposed at the top of your pool, what players are showing up the most in your pool exposures. These are just, you know, all of the lineups that were built, not just a subset of them. So these are ways that I like to get familiar with the slate and figure out where SaberSim is leaning for the day. But all right. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Had a ton of questions today. Nice long show on a Monday here. I'll be back in about 10-ish minutes here for our build review show. Going to go get everything set up over there so we can jump in and review some builds from the weekend. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will see you all soon. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.